Have you ever wondered why we often feel torn between cold logic and intuitive wisdom? Why our modern society seems to prize data over meaning, efficiency over beauty, and information over understanding? Ian McGilchrist's groundbreaking work, The Master and His Emissary, might hold the answer, and it's all in your head, literally. This remarkable book has become a cult favorite among neuroscientists, philosophers, and cultural critics alike. When psychiatrist Norman Doidge called it a landmark new book, and literary scholar Lewis Sass deemed it a dazzling masterpiece, they weren't exaggerating. Even philosopher Mary Midley proclaimed it a profound examination of the relationship between the brain and everything humans have achieved. The book's influence extends beyond academia. Filmmaker Adam Curtis based his documentary Can't Get You Out of My Head partly on McGilchrist's ideas, and it's reportedly one of Jordan Peterson's favorite books on understanding human consciousness. McGilchrist's central insight is both simple and profound. The two hemispheres of our brain don't just process different types of information, they represent fundamentally different ways of experiencing reality. The left hemisphere, with its narrow, focused attention, excels at manipulating the world through analysis, categorization, and abstraction. The right hemisphere, with its broad, vigilant attention, specializes in connecting us to the living world through empathy, context, and embodied experience. This isn't the simplistic left-brain logical, right-brain creative pop psychology you might have heard. The difference is far more subtle and consequential. Both hemispheres participate in nearly everything we do, but they do so in profoundly different ways. The left hemisphere helps us grasp and use the world, while the right hemisphere helps us understand and connect with it. The brain's division isn't accidental. It evolved to solve a fundamental attentional problem. Animals need both narrow focus to feed, to use tools, and broad vigilance to watch for predators, to maintain social awareness simultaneously. Since these modes are incompatible, the brain developed two parallel systems. Birds, for instance, use their right eye, left hemisphere, for pecking at seeds, while their left eye, right hemisphere, scans for danger. This pattern appears consistently across vertebrate evolution. In humans, this division has reached its most sophisticated form. The left hemisphere gives us the power to manipulate our environment through technology, language, and systematic thinking. The right hemisphere provides our sense of meaning, our emotional connections to others, and our ability to see the bigger picture. We need both, but they must remain in proper balance, with the right hemisphere's wisdom guiding the left's practical skills. McGilchrist uses a powerful metaphor from a Nietzschean parable to illustrate the relationship between the hemispheres. A wise ruler, the right hemisphere, sends his trusted emissary, the left hemisphere, to represent him in distant lands. The emissary is effective but limited. He can only understand part of the master's wisdom. Eventually, the emissary begins to believe he knows everything, stops consulting the master, and ultimately betrays him. This metaphor serves as a warning about the dangers of allowing specialized knowledge to override broader understanding. This relationship mirrors what's happening in our brains. The right hemisphere should have primacy. It sees more of reality, has a more comprehensive view, and maintains our connection to the living world. It processes emotional nuance, understands context, and grasps the bigger picture in ways the left hemisphere cannot. The left hemisphere should serve as its skilled helper, providing useful abstractions and tools, much like an expert craftsman who excels at detailed work but needs guidance on the overall vision. But something has gone wrong. The left hemisphere has gradually usurped control, convinced it doesn't need the master's guidance, much like a technician who begins to believe their specialized knowledge trumps all other forms of understanding. The evidence for this hemispheric imbalance is compelling and manifest in multiple ways. The left hemisphere excels at creating self-enclosed, coherent systems that exclude whatever doesn't fit, from bureaucratic procedures to computer programs to theoretical models. It's excellent at denying information that contradicts its model, often rationalizing away inconvenient facts that challenge its worldview. When split-brain patients are shown different images in each visual field, the left hemisphere confidently invents explanations for behaviors driven by the right hemisphere's perceptions, without batting an eye. For instance, if the right hemisphere sees snow and makes the left hand point to a snow shovel, the left hemisphere will create a plausible but entirely false explanation for why the hand made that choice. The right hemisphere, by contrast, remains open to contradiction and ambiguity, much like a wise leader who understands that reality is too complex for simple solutions. It can maintain multiple possibilities simultaneously and recognizes when something doesn't fit. It sees the world as it is, messy, interconnected, and alive, rather than as a simplified model. This hemisphere appreciates paradox, understands metaphor, and recognizes the limitations of rigid categorization. In art, music, and poetry, it grasps meanings that transcend literal interpretation, maintaining our vital connection to the richness and complexity of lived experience. This imbalance has profound implications for modern society, where left hemisphere dominance manifests in our obsession with metrics, standardization, and abstract systems at the expense of wisdom, intuition, and holistic understanding. The challenge lies in restoring the proper relationship between these two ways of knowing, allowing each to contribute its unique strengths while maintaining the right hemisphere's proper role as master. What would it be like to experience the world primarily through your right hemisphere? McGilchrist draws on extensive neurological research to paint a vivid picture, demonstrating how this hemisphere shapes our fundamental experience of reality. The right hemisphere perceives wholes before parts, functioning like a master conductor orchestrating a symphony of sensory inputs. It understands context and the relationships between things, allowing us to grasp situations holistically before breaking them down into components. For example, when entering a room, we first sense the overall atmosphere before noticing individual objects. It grasps the implicit, what's not explicitly stated but understood through tone, facial expression, or context, enabling us to detect subtle emotional undertones in conversations or sense when something feels off despite everything appearing normal on the surface. It specializes in metaphor, humor, and indirect communication, helping us understand statements like life is a journey or appreciate the nuanced timing of comedy. The right hemisphere maintains our sense of the body as lived experience rather than a mechanical object. It processes proprioception, our awareness of where our body is in space, and integrates sensory information to create our felt sense of being embodied. It gives emotional depth to our perceptions and connects us empathetically to others, allowing us to literally feel another's pain or joy through mirror neuron networks. This hemisphere's world is characterized by depth, both spatial and temporal. It understands things in three dimensions and places them within the flow of time, creating our sense of personal narrative and historical context. When we navigate complex environments or recognize faces from different angles, we're relying on the right hemisphere's sophisticated spatial processing. It appreciates the unique qualities of individuals rather than just their category membership, enabling us to recognize the subtle differences that make each person, place, or moment unique. It's comfortable with uncertainty and ambiguity, recognizing that the most important aspects of life, love, beauty, meaning, can never be fully articulated or reduced to simple formulas. The right hemisphere gives us our sense of self as embodied beings connected to others and the world. It maintains our autobiographical memory and sense of personal continuity, weaving together experiences into a coherent life story. It allows us to see ourselves as others see us, the foundation of self-awareness and empathy, by maintaining a broader perspective that includes both self and other. This capacity for metacognition enables us to reflect on our own thoughts and behaviors while remaining grounded in our bodily experience. Most importantly, the right hemisphere grounds us in reality. It presents the world to us in its fullness and complexity, allowing us to engage with what actually exists rather than our preconceptions about it. This direct, embodied connection to reality serves as a vital counterbalance to the left hemisphere's tendency to work with representations and abstractions. Through the right hemisphere, we maintain our connection to the living, breathing world of immediate experience. The left hemisphere constructs a distinctly different version of reality, one that prioritizes analysis over synthesis. It systematically breaks holes into constituent parts and shows a strong preference for categorization over individual uniqueness. Where the right hemisphere sees a living tree with unique characteristics, the left hemisphere sees a specimen of a particular species with measurable attributes. It gravitates toward the explicit and literal, often struggling with nuance, metaphor, and implicit meaning. This hemisphere excels at manipulating symbols and creating abstract systems across multiple domains. In mathematics, it works with numbers and equations rather than quantities and relationships. In language, it focuses on literal definitions and grammatical rules rather than contextual meaning. In bureaucracies, it creates standardized procedures and hierarchical structures that reduce complex human interactions to manageable protocols. The left hemisphere's mechanical worldview extends to its understanding of human experience. It conceptualizes the body as a machine with interchangeable parts rather than an integrated living system. Emotions become quantifiable data points, heart rate, cortisol levels, behavioral markers, stripped of their lived experience. Time is fragmented into discrete, measurable units rather than experienced as a continuous flow. This perspective often struggles with context and holistic understanding, fixating on isolated details while missing broader patterns and relationships. Perhaps most notably, the left hemisphere displays remarkable confidence in its restricted viewpoint. When confronted with phenomena it cannot explain within its mechanistic framework, it tends to either deny their existence or construct elaborate rationalizations. It exhibits a strong preference for certainty over accuracy, often forcing complex realities into simplified binary categories. This hemisphere shows limited capacity for genuine empathy, treating other beings as objects to be analyzed and manipulated rather than subjects to be understood and related to. The left hemisphere's capabilities have undeniably advanced human civilization. Its powers of abstraction and systematization have enabled remarkable achievements in science, technology, and social organization. It has given us everything from mathematical physics to computer programming, from standardized legal systems to mass production. However, the contemporary problem lies not in these capabilities themselves, but in their increasing dominance over the right hemisphere's complementary perspectives. This imbalance has led to a progressively mechanistic, fragmented, and decontextualized view of reality that struggles to grasp the interconnected nature of life and consciousness. McGilchrist's genius extends beyond neuroscience to show how the relationship between the hemispheres has shaped Western civilization over the past 2,500 years. He traces a fascinating pattern of hemispheric balance and imbalance through major historical periods. Ancient Greece began with remarkable balance. The pre-Socratic philosophers, especially Heraclitus, embraced paradox and the unity of opposites, a right hemisphere perspective. Greek tragedy explored the depths of human experience while maintaining analytical clarity. But with Plato came a decisive shift toward left hemisphere dominance, privileging abstract forms over lived experience and devaluing poetry and art as mere imitations of imitations. The Renaissance represented a return to right hemisphere values, celebrating embodied existence, perspective in art, individual expression, and the beauty of the natural world. Artists like Leonardo and Michelangelo were revered for their intuitive genius that transcended mere technical skill. The world became semi-transparent, beautiful in itself, yet pointing to something beyond. But the Reformation soon reversed this balance, replacing images with text, metaphor with literal interpretation, and embodied ritual with abstract doctrine. The world was increasingly disenchanted, with meaning drained from physical reality and relocated to abstract systems. The Enlightenment accelerated this left hemisphere dominance. Descartes' philosophy exemplified the shift, doubting sensory experience, separating mind from body, and seeking certainty through abstract reasoning. The living world became mechanical, to be understood through mathematics and manipulated for human benefit. Romanticism emerged as a corrective, attempting to reconnect with nature, emotion, and embodied experience. Poets like Wordsworth sought to recover the sense of wonder that rationalism had stripped away. But this movement was ultimately overwhelmed by the Industrial Revolution, which externalized left hemisphere patterns into the physical world through mass production, standardization, and mechanization. The modern and postmodern periods represent the triumph of left hemisphere thinking. Our world increasingly resembles what neurologists observe in patients with right hemisphere damage, fragmented, mechanical, devitalized, and self-referential. We've created a society that mirrors the left hemisphere's preferences, abstract, categorical, utilitarian, and disconnected from embodied wisdom. What happens when the left hemisphere dominates our culture? McGilchrist paints a sobering picture that feels eerily familiar to our contemporary world, where technological progress often comes at the cost of human connection and meaning. Knowledge becomes increasingly specialized and technical, with information valued over wisdom. Universities fragment into hyper-specialized departments, while generalists and polymaths become rare. Experience and embodied skill are replaced by abstract credentials and algorithmic procedures, evident in how AI systems now make decisions previously requiring human judgment. Medical doctors spend more time entering data than with patients, while teachers focus on standardized tests rather than nurturing individual student growth. The living world becomes mechanized and commodified. Forests are reduced to timber resources, animals to production units, and even human attention becomes monetized through social media algorithms. Quality yields to quantity, as metrics and measurements dominate every sphere. Employee performance is reduced to KPIs, while art and culture are evaluated primarily by market value and viewing statistics. Social relationships become increasingly transactional and depersonalized. Dating apps turn human connection into swipeable commodities, while social media replaces deep friendships with shallow digital connections. Community bonds weaken as people frequently relocate for work, losing traditional anchors to place and people. Remote work, while convenient, further erodes workplace relationships and informal learning. Government and institutions seek increasing control through sophisticated monitoring and regulation systems. Schools install surveillance cameras, employers track keystrokes, and cities deploy facial recognition. Trust declines as bureaucratic systems replace personal relationships. Consider how automated phone systems and chatbots now mediate customer service. Security becomes an obsession, with risk management departments growing while innovation departments shrink. The paradox of modern life emerges in happiness research. Despite unprecedented material prosperity, well-being levels have stagnated or declined in developed nations over the past half century. Studies show that beyond meeting basic needs, additional wealth brings negligible benefits to life satisfaction. What actually predicts happiness? Research consistently points to the breadth and depth of one's social connections, meaningful work, and sense of community, precisely the elements that our left hemisphere-dominated society systematically undermines. This imbalance manifests in rising rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness across developed nations, suggesting that our technical progress has come at the cost of psychological well-being. The metrics-driven society excels at measuring everything except what truly matters for human flourishing. Despite this grim assessment, McGilchrist finds compelling reasons for hope. The very inauthenticity of our left hemisphere-dominated world may ultimately drive us to change it. As the situation worsens and the limitations of purely analytical thinking become more evident, the need for correction becomes more apparent. The worse things get, the better they get. This paradox suggests that reaching a crisis point might catalyze necessary transformation. He suggests we might learn valuable lessons from Eastern cultures, which have historically maintained greater hemispheric balance. Brain imaging studies reveal that Chinese speakers activate right hemisphere regions more strongly than Western language speakers, demonstrating more balanced hemispheric engagement overall. This neurological difference reflects deeper cultural patterns. Eastern philosophies typically embrace paradox, context, and holistic thinking. This doesn't mean abandoning Western achievements in science, technology, and rational inquiry, but rather integrating them with right hemisphere wisdom to create a more complete worldview. McGilchrist particularly emphasizes music's potential to regenerate our connection to embodied meaning, bypassing increasingly devalued words. Music engages both hemispheres while primarily speaking to right brain understanding, offering a bridge between analytical and intuitive modes of knowing. Both science and art need regrounding in the lived world, becoming more human and humane. We need to recover our sense of the body, the spiritual dimension, and authentic art, all pathways to reconnecting with right hemisphere wisdom. This might involve practices like mindfulness meditation, engagement with nature, and cultivation of genuine artistic expression. The solution isn't to abandon left hemisphere thinking, but to restore it to its proper role as servant rather than master. Like a pianist who meticulously analyzes a piece before performance, but must ultimately transcend that analysis to play beautifully, we need the left hemisphere skills for detailed analysis and sequential processing, but must ultimately move beyond them to live fully. This integration might manifest in education that values both analytical and intuitive learning, healthcare that treats the whole person, and social structures that honor both individual achievement and communal connection. McGilchrist suggests practical steps toward this rebalancing, cultivating attention to context and relationship, engaging with art and nature, practicing embodied activities, and developing comfort with ambiguity and paradox. These practices can help restore the right hemisphere's vital perspective while maintaining the left hemisphere's valuable contributions to human understanding and achievement. McGilchrist concludes with a profound insight. Embracing uncertainty may be our salvation. The only certainty, he writes, is that those who believe they are certainly right are certainly wrong. True understanding comes through continuous seeking rather than rigid certainty. This perspective challenges our modern obsession with definitive answers and absolute truths, suggesting instead that wisdom lies in maintaining an open, questioning stance toward the world. The divided nature of reality has been recognized throughout human history, from Goethe's "Two souls dwell in my breast" to philosophers who saw humanity as citizens of two worlds. This duality appears in countless forms: reason and intuition, science and art, analysis and synthesis. Ancient traditions, from Taoism to Native American wisdom, speak of this fundamental split, while modern thinkers like William James and Carl Jung developed sophisticated theories around it. When this fundamental division aligns with the brain's physical structure, it suggests a profound truth about human existence. Perhaps our hemispheric division reflects something fundamental about reality itself, the need for both unity and division, both connection and separation. The left hemisphere's precision and the right hemisphere's holistic vision aren't merely different ways of thinking, they represent complementary ways of being in the world. This division appears necessary for consciousness itself, as the tension between different perspectives creates the space in which meaning can emerge. By understanding this divided nature, we might restore the proper relationship between the master and his emissary, creating a world that honors both the power of analysis and the wisdom of embodied connection. McGilchrist's work isn't just another neuroscience book. It's a profound meditation on what it means to be human in an increasingly mechanized world. He shows how our modern preference for left hemisphere thinking has led to a crisis of meaning as we reduce rich experiences to measurable data and living processes to mechanical operations. By understanding the brain's divided nature, we gain insight into our divided selves and our divided culture. This understanding suggests that our current cultural crisis stems not from the division itself, but from our failure to maintain the proper balance between these two ways of being. The path forward, McGilchrist suggests, lies not in choosing one mode over the other, but in restoring their proper relationship. This means acknowledging the primacy of the right hemisphere's broader, more connected view, while recognizing the essential role of the left hemisphere's focused attention. In this balance lies the possibility of healing both our individual psyches and our collective culture, allowing us to be fully human in an age that often seems to prize the mechanical over the living. The path forward, McGilchrist suggests, lies not in choosing one mode over the other, but in restoring their proper relationship. This means acknowledging the primacy of the right hemisphere's broader, more connected view, while recognizing the essential role of the left hemisphere's focused attention. In this balance lies the possibility of healing both our individual psyches and our collective culture, allowing us to be fully human in an age that often seems to prize the mechanical over the living. McGilchrist acknowledges that his thesis might be seen as just a metaphor, the brain's division reflecting a deeper division in human experience. But he's content with this. I have a high regard for metaphor. It is how we come to understand the world. He argues that metaphors are not mere linguistic devices, but fundamental tools through which we grasp reality, bridging the gap between abstract concepts and lived experience. The hemispheric division itself serves as a powerful metaphor for understanding human consciousness and culture. The left hemisphere's tendency toward categorization and analysis mirrors our modern world's obsession with breaking things down into manageable parts. Meanwhile, the right hemisphere's holistic perspective reflects our deeper need for connection, context, and meaning-making. This duality appears throughout human experience, in art versus science, intuition versus logic, and tradition versus innovation. Indeed, metaphor itself exemplifies the right hemisphere's wisdom, connecting abstract thought to embodied experience, finding unity in apparent division. When we say life is a journey or time is a river, we're not just making poetic comparisons. We're engaging in a fundamental cognitive process that helps us understand complex realities through familiar experiences. The brain's hemispheric structure may be the perfect metaphor for understanding ourselves because it's not merely a metaphor, but a physical reality that shapes how we experience the world. This understanding has profound implications for how we might approach contemporary challenges. The dominance of left hemisphere thinking has led to remarkable technological advances, but also to a fragmented, mechanistic worldview that often misses the bigger picture. By recognizing the proper relationship between the hemispheres, the wise master guiding his skilled emissary, we might restore balance to our individual lives and our collective culture. McGilchrist suggests that this rebalancing could transform multiple domains. Education could embrace both analytical and intuitive learning. Medicine could treat both symptoms and whole persons. Business could pursue both profit and purpose. We might create a world that values both precision and wholeness, both utility and meaning, both power and wisdom. We might, in short, become fully human again, integrating our capacity for detailed analysis with our ability to see the larger context and deeper significance of our lives.